Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks for making the show part of your day. The college football playoff bracket was released over the weekend. First and foremost, this is going to be incredibly fun. We're going to watch this college football playoff and say, I cannot believe we haven't been doing this for years. I already feel that way. I'm looking at a flawed group of 12. I'm looking at a terribly assembled process because they don't reseed and the best teams from the regular season are getting screwed in a couple of ways, which I'll get into. And with all of my complaints and all of my gripes, I'm going, what an amazing next couple of weeks this is going to be. We should have always been doing this. Now, that having been said, there are always going to be complaints, and we could expand the thing to 16 and someone will be upset, and then you expand it to 20 and somebody else is angry. That'll always be the case. But the first argument everybody's been having is, did the right 12 teams get in? And really, the only conversation at that point is Alabama or SMU. SMU, a two-loss team out of the ACC, year one in the ACC, or Alabama, a three-loss team out of the SEC. The problem for Alabama is that while, yes, they play a tougher schedule, and yes, they have a better overall resume in terms of quality of opponent and wins, their losses were bad. They lost to one ranked team in Tennessee and two unranked teams in Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. Those are two really hard losses to explain away when you're on the bubble as a three-loss team. So I don't think Alabama has like a great argument to suggest that their resume overall with those two unranked losses and three overall losses is better than SMU's. The only argument for Alabama fans and for the SEC should be Alabama's a better team than SMU, which they are. The playoffs would be better if Alabama was in them than if SMU is in them, which is probably true. But what do you want the playoffs to be? Is it based on the merit of the season that you just played, or is it just based on who the better teams are? Like when you field a group of 12, when you put together this 12-team playoff, what should you be asking yourself if you're the committee? Is the question as simple as, who are the 12 best teams in America right now that if everyone played each other, you know, this team would win the most games? Because I think if Alabama played SMU, they would beat them handily. That's different than having a better resume or being more deserving of getting in. What should matter? And if you believe, like I do, that you just want to see the best teams in the playoffs and that Alabama's a better team so you'd like to see them in, the problem with that and the reason it's probably wrong is that then why even have a season? Right? I mean, if Alabama just gets in over SMU because they're better, which is probably true, then what's the point of SMU even playing their year? Or Alabama could have lost how four games and still get in at that point? Three games, the cutoff? I mean, to me, SMU, had they beaten Clemson, would have been deservedly in by losing to Clemson and having the two losses. They also lost to BYU. I think they opened the door. I wouldn't have really had a problem either way. I think SMU was the right decision in this 12-team playoff. again, I am biased to wanting to see more SEC teams, just wanting to see the powers in college football in this first go-round in this playoff all colliding with each other in a battle royale. But don't think that was wrong. Think they probably got it right. Now, overall complaints. You've got to reseed after the first round. That's how you benefit the best teams in America. So in other words, Oregon is number one, and they're going to get a winner from Ohio State, Tennessee in their first playoff game. Meanwhile, Boise State is number three. They have the same bye Oregon does, and then their first playoff game is going to be against the winner of SMU-PSU. So they're going to play either Penn State, probably, or SMU, whereas Oregon's got to play Ohio State, which is a better team than either of those two, decidedly. Why is Oregon the one team, the number one in the country, the one seed, the best team in America, that has deservedly, after this season, navigated the rankings to the top? Why are they getting Ohio State, whereas Boise State's going to potentially get SMU? Are you kidding me? You've got to reseed. So, in other words, Texas is a five, and they get Clemson and then Arizona State. That's as light as could be to get to the semis for a team that doesn't have a bye. Like, I might rather do that if I'm Oregon. Play Clemson, I'll beat them. Play Arizona State, I'll beat them. Although Cam Scataboo is silly. And get to the semis rather than just having to play Ohio State in one game. I can make the case that Texas as a five has an easier path to the semis than Oregon does. I thought they got screwed. And then SMU being ranked over Clemson was also really interesting. I get it, 11-2 versus 10-3, but they literally just played. Clemson beat them in the ACC championship game. So I think they got some things to iron out. It's not perfect, but it's going to be really, really fun. Cannot wait. It'll be a blast. And we will be previewing the games and picking the games, getting closer to the weekend on the show. But if you haven't checked out the bracket, it's a good look. 12 teams. You got the four byes. Nobody really saw the byes coming the way that it worked out when the season began, obviously. When, you know, you got Boise State crashing the party at number three. Arizona State. A bye in the college football playoff? Like, what is that? Are you kidding me? It's hilarious. Oregon and Georgia, your traditional powers. The way I see it going, I think Texas beats Clemson. Then they beat Arizona State. Sets up an Oregon-Texas matchup. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee beat Ohio State in that 8-9 game. And so we're going to get Oregon and Texas in the Final Four, which I love. Penn State will beat SMU. Then they'll play Boise State. I think that'll be a great game, but let's say Penn State comes out of that part of the bracket. Notre Dame beats Indiana. Then Notre Dame, which had a tough draw, gets Georgia. So you're setting up a Final Four of Texas against Oregon, Penn State against Georgia, and then a Oregon-Georgia national championship game, in my opinion, which I would think Dan Lanning's Ducks win. But we should have been doing this for a long, long time. Now let's just reseed and fix some of the things that we can already tell are going to be mistakes. All right, Dan Quinn at the podium today out in Ashburn meeting with reporters out of the bye week. The Commanders are back to work. Had an opening statement and addressed some of his injured players. Some critical info here from DQ. Let's listen in.
The first thing I'd hit you up with is, man, I really enjoyed the day with the players. It was a little bit like first day back at school. A lot of bounce in the step. A lot of energy to get rolling and for them to see each other and honestly, like, get ready to go back to work and focus on some of the things that we really want to chase getting better at. And so, like I said, it was a good day and lots to hit on. So let's get started with you guys.
Hey, Dan. Let's go back to Marshawn. What did you guys see from him last week in his progress, and what do you anticipate this week from him?
Last week went good, John. A lot of top speed running. So hitting all the markers as we're moving along. He was able to participate in the work that we did today. And as we're getting into practice, you know, we're looking forward to getting him, you know, regular work with the practice, with the guys, and then we'll take that all the way through the week. But we were very encouraged about all the work that he and the medical team have put in. He's hitting all the steps along the way, and we look forward to doing that more in practice this week as well.
What do you need to see from him as you get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Just the markers of him being able to you know, hit all the speeds, all the change of directions, and really all the things that will come up in practice for his position. So we've put him through a lot of tests, John, all the strength, all the speed to go. And so he's hit all the markers up until now. And so that process that we have is a strict one for that reason, to, you know, keep the players safe and healthy. And so he's done a really good job of, you know, making sure he could hit them. And we'll take that into practice now this week, and hopefully that'll lead into, you know, a full week of practice and into the game. But until we get all the way to that spot, I'll, you know, stay guarded and then, you know, give you guys updates as we get into Friday.
What's your plan at kicker?
Our plan?
Yes. I mean,
yeah, we're staying where we're at as we finished up in the last game. So that's the plan as we're hitting it today. Zane's healthy and he's kicking.
He's signing to the 53?
Yeah, the rosters that we'll have up. Yeah, we'll talk about that coming in this week, but that will be easy. Now I get where you're going. You came at me so quickly with that, Nikki. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that. Yes, we're planning on Zane to be the kicker moving forward.
Okay.
There we go.
Just the extra time, what can that do for all the guys, you know, especially those in the trenches?
Yeah, I think coming into it, you wanted to make sure, we didn't talk a lot about the bye. It felt like a long, far off way. And so when we were going into it, we knew we needed some space to heal up and to get healthy. Coming out of it, that's why I enjoyed today being around them. There was a bounce and an energy with the guys to get going. So in December and January football, the line of scrimmage is really the thing that leads the way, both sides. And we've seen that all over the league for years and years. And so that will be no different this year. And so to have these guys trending this way, you know, at this time of year and feeling better, Nikki, that's a big deal.
Dan, I'm sort of curious, like, how you spent your weekend without a game. Specifically, was there any type of scoreboard watching? Or were you paying attention to certain teams to start to get a feel for, you know, what's going on in the NFC?
Not as much yesterday, you know, wanted to watch, you know, New Orleans. So that's where my focus was, you know, into the game. And then, you know, after that game was over, you know, other games to go. But, yeah, generally, if I had more time, that's usually where I would look to the NFC. But honestly, for us as the teams, you know, goes, we don't really try to look too far down the line. And we'll leave that to you and everybody outside just to make sure that for us, Ben, like, the only fight that matters is the one we're in. That's what we do have control over. And it's honestly a big story to make sure that we can have the discipline just to stay in it and just to New Orleans to go. Because, as you know, it's almost like so much talk externally about things, you know, 4 and 5 weeks down the road, that I just don't want to miss anything that's into just this week, because that's really the only thing that we have control over. So that's what I do.
And in terms of getting ready for the stretch run, I know you wanted to take some time off, but I'm sure there's some self-scouting going on. And I'm just curious, like, at this point, is it looking back at just recent games? Do you factor in all the season, or kind of what was, whatever you did, what was sort of your thought process and your staff's process going to do that?
Yep. You start first individually, you know, with the players, and you wanted to find any trends of where we were, you know, at the beginning to where we are as you're moving through each course of the season. So we are able to, like, basically self-scout as we're going, Ben, but you also want to, you know, get more specific, get a little further down. What's that in man coverage? What's this, you know, route combination? What does that look like? How do we put different people in different spots to make sure they can really do what they're doing? So you want to look from an individual standpoint first. You know, are we putting the guys in the right spots to make the right plays, you know, based on their skills? Then from a scheme standpoint, what's been successful and why? And you want to make sure, you want to feature the things that the guys can really nail, Ben, so they can play without hesitation to absolutely let it rip. When injuries and stuff factor in, okay, who, you don't just plug and play. There's, you know, certain people that will have to take up, you know, different responsibilities, for, you know, for example, like Austin. And so that also factors in. But yeah, you look individually, player-wise, then scheme, and then from the coaching side, you do want to make sure you look ahead to say, what contingencies would we need? And that's always the part of having a big, deep roster, that you want to make sure, is the next ready? And so that's part of my push, Ben, with the staff, to always make sure that everybody, you know, is on the push to get ready. So there's not a player on the roster, oh, it's okay, he's just developing. I don't think that way at all. Each position group, each week, we're pushing them to say, Are you ready? Are you prepared? And that's how we can get the whole group ready, as opposed to having to look elsewhere when those things come up.
You're listening to Dan Quinn's press conference from earlier today out in Ashburn with the bye week over on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
What are those specific things you're looking for your team to improve on coming out of the bye?
We still want to improve on our turnover margin, Sam. I think we're at eighth or ninth, somewhere into that space. But we'd love to, as we're pushing through these games, you want to be able to try to finish in double digits if you can. And so we're not there yet. And so that's always one that's at the front of my thinking. Then you get into like tackling and breaking tackles from a, you know, fundamental standpoint. How do you work that? How do you break leverage onto people? And then as we're going in through that, you know, we're always come back to the line of scrimmages. Now, I think I was referring earlier about that, you know, with either John or with Nikki, about that's going to be, you know, an area of emphasis for us. And not just this game and the next game, but really just moving forward. That has to be, you know, a strong part of what we do.
Last Thursday, late in the fourth quarter, the Lions were driving in a tie game deep in opponent territory, and they decided to go for it rather than kick a field goal. I'm wondering if you watched that, if you had a reaction to it, just as a head coach being in, you know, sort of similar position.
Yeah, it's fun about that. We do that, and we go through a lot of those every week with Dave Gardy. And so there were some yesterday, in fact, with some of the games that we go through. But it is a fun part of that process to go through. When you're into that spot, there's also, you know, how are you doing? What's the opponent look like? And so some of it is gut, you know, to say what's the distance that you have to go. But it certainly paid off for them, you know, on that particular one. So that's a good call.
On your success, more successful teams over the years, how have they been able to handle the challenge of this is a big game this week,
yep,
at a big time of the season, and not get overwhelmed by the moment?
Yeah, it's a good topic. And that's really, Dave, that you want. This is why you lean in on some of the players that have been in that experience. You know, I'm talking about a Wagner, I'm talking about an Ertz, I'm talking about ones that, hey man, Allegretti, like, let's talk through this and have the discussions about leaning into this game. And one thing I do like, Dave, I think this is important, I learned it from Coach Carroll, that if you just continue to make each of the games the same process, the same way that you go prepare, when you do step into these arenas, you don't make the next one bigger than the next one, and because you can get in your own head about that, but you really stay true to that process. Earlier this year, we've all heard a lot about trust the process. That's been maybe a buzzword, you know, I don't know how many years, but it's certainly maybe 5 or 10 years. Magic Johnson spoke to us, and he added one word at the end, David, I thought was important. He said, enjoy the process of winning. And I thought, he was right. It's not just the process of getting ready. Or for us, that's competition Wednesday. That's where our team starts, and Thursday and Friday and into Saturday. And then you get to the game and you really feel confident because you put the work in. And that's what he was talking about, the process of winning. And I thought, what a great one word fill in at the end. Not just the process, but the process of winning.
What was Wiley able to do last week, if anything?
Went all through the process for us, and everything's trending up for him to go and get a full week of work in. So it just worked out that time and that space, you know, was helpful for him.
You're listening to Dan Quinn's press conference from earlier today out in Ashburn with the bye week over on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Hi, Dan. To your point of enjoy the process of winning, in its simplest form right now, your team controls their own destiny. Win out, and you guys are going to the playoffs. Do you emphasize that to your players about, hey, the ball's in our court, and how exciting is that to be in this position?
Scott, you must have just logged on. There's zero chance we're talking about 4 weeks down the road. But what I can tell you, my friend, is that we really try to stay into the here and now. And honestly, what I talked about with the team was a concept of base camp. We're not at the bottom, but we're nowhere near the summit. You just try to get to the next camp, and then to the next one, and then to the next one. And so if we continue to chase that, Scott, that's where it's at for us. And so for us this week, we're going to constantly chase, can we get better and get everything we need to do for New Orleans? The following week, we'll do the same. But I just, you know, try to make it a discipline. Can we be disciplined enough to not look 3 and 4 weeks down the road? And that's what we'll constantly go after. So sorry to spoil your moment there, but I did have to correct you on that one.
No moment. In terms of Jaden, terms of Jaden, Coach, he obviously has a great foundation. He's learning. He's growing. This final stretch, these four games, how do you want to see him evolve? How do you want to see him grow even more? What's the next step for Jaden?
Yeah, I think what I saw going into this season was a player that this is a real competitor. And he knew in those winning time moments, what that would look like and how he would respond. And so learning as you're going, that's a big piece of playing quarterback. How do different people try to play in? How do you react to that knowing that they're going to try to play a certain way? So the understanding of the system, he's nailed that. The competitive nature, he's nailed that. Now, when it comes time to they're trying to play us a certain way, how quickly can we react and play into what's needed for that moment? And I have a sense he'll absolutely nail that too, Scott. He's just that type of competitor. And what I did see in the last game was for him, full speed processes and decisions. And you had heard me talk about the importance of that practice time for him. And I really felt that heading into our last game, which was against Tennessee, but all the way through the practice week, all the reps, all the, stuff that went into it, I felt that on game day. And so I expect, as you were trying to say, like, what am I looking to see from him? I expect to see more of that moving forward, now that we're back into, full swings of practice and playing.
Last game, Sheldon Day was one of the captains. So can you share what you've seen out of him so far?
Yes, I thought he's really made a significant impact here. And I would consider him one of the glue guys here behind the scenes that can help people connect, stay together. He's a very consistent player. And so up some games, not active for some games, but to see him remain the same each and every week, Candy, I thought that was significant. And that type of consistency was rewarded, and that's why we named him a captain for that game. But he's got a nice way about him of connecting behind the scenes to make sure the people are in the right spots doing the right things. And I've been certainly impressed by that.
And you mentioned where you all are regarding the line of scrimmage. So can you share a little bit more about your thoughts on where you think the team is right now?
Sure. As we're going, we wanted to make sure from, the way we run the ball, run defense, all of that being such an important phase of what we do. A lot of the time, the run offense and the run defense can be the longest to get going. But now that we've established a lot of playing time together, that has to be the focal point, as we're moving forward through this final stage of the second half of the season for us. And so that part, run game, all 11 together, pass protection, same thing defensively, the run defense, and how does all that tie together? That's really what makes it all come alive. And the fun part of that is not every offense does it exactly the same. So defending one offense is different from another one. And that's kind of the fun part of being in the NFL and coaching, to say this is what you have to get done this week. It's not the same exact every week, but defending different players and different schemes. And we certainly have a running back here that is exceptional, that we'll head down to New Orleans to face. And he's a perfect example of that.
That was Commanders head coach Dan Quinn out in Ashburn today, meeting with the media with the bye week over. Speaking of over, that'll do it for our show. Big thanks to Darris and Ryan for their work behind the production. Hopefully Danny is back in the saddle tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who listened and enjoyed the program. We appreciate you. You can keep the conversation going on all things social media at Grant H. Paulson as we continue into the evening. Toby's got live and local overtime ahead of Monday Night Football next. It's Tobver time and then Pigskin on the Fan tonight. Thanks for checking us out. Keep it locked in here on your flagship home for the Caps and the Nats.
Thank you for coming.